Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo. My name is Larry Karnas, and in this show we are going to talk about backup, both virtual machine and service console backup. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the questions and comment box below. All right, now let's get started. There are a number of aspects to covering off the topic of backup in a virtualization environment. In this talk, we are going to talk about virtual infrastructure backup, including VM backup using recovery agents in the guest OS, VMware consolidated backup. We'll talk about third-party backup tools to backup ESX, and we'll also talk about Service Console backup. Virtual machine backup presents unique challenges and opportunities as well to the VMware administrator. The challenges that it presents include the fact that traditional network-based backup tools stream their backups across your network. This can be time-consuming because you have to take all of the VM's files and stream them over a gigabit network link. It's resource-intensive because as the network-based backup tool runs, it fetches files that it needs from the storage resource. That burns storage bandwidth. It buffers those files in memory, burning up memory. It uses CPU to deposit those files on the network, and it beats up network as those files stream out of the ESX box over to the backup server. If many VMs initiate a network-based backup at the same time, the collective load of running all of those backup jobs may actually impair production VMs as VMs fight for resources to run their backup tasks. The other challenge we're going to face is the cost of traditional network-based backup tools. Network-based backup tools are usually priced based on components. So, for example, you start by buying a backup server license. You run the backup server on a device somewhere on the network. And then what you do is you install backup agents in the machines that you wish to back up. Of course, each backup agent costs you money. The backup agents are capable of backing up the machine, but not open files or specific applications. If you have to back up files that are open and active, you usually end up having to buy open file agents. And for specific applications like SQL and Exchange, you have to buy agents for those as well. If you do all of this, you'll have an environment where you can back up your virtual machines, their open files, and their active applications. But you won't yet be able to recover anything. So if you actually want to recover, most traditional network-based backup vendors also require that you buy recovery agents. The net result is that by the time you're done, you may have actually spent more on backup tools, including agents, backup servers, recovery agents, and so on, than you actually spent on the operating system that you're backing up. Now, recovery. I can do backups and recoveries a couple of different ways in a virtual environment. It is possible, and certainly it is an option, to run traditional network-based backup and recovery tools inside virtual machines. Of course, I need the appropriate licenses, and you should be able to continue to use your organization's best practices with regard to those tools. I can also use VMware Consolidated Backup. VMware Consolidated Backup is a backup solution that VMware makes available. If I have a FiberSAN, VMware Consolidated Backup runs LAN-free, which is to say it runs over the fiber network, not the Ethernet network. It makes backups by first snapshotting a virtual machine, which means that the backup can be conducted while the virtual machine is hot. Because backups are synced before they actually occur, or I should say virtual machines are synced before backups actually occur, the data that's backed up on the disk is consistent, and the backup occurs quickly because the data is streamed across the fiber network, not across a gigabit Ethernet network. Now, I can run VCB two ways. I can run VCB off the service console, or I can offload VCB tasks to a Windows server that acts as a backup proxy server. The result with VCB is that I can get hot, fast, consistent, reliable backups with no VM downtime and without the cost of agents that my traditional backup vendor would require me to pay for. The other nice thing about VCB is as my VM population grows, I don't have to spend money on traditional network-based backup tools, so the more I rely on VCB or VMware Data Recovery, the less money I spend on traditional backup tools, and the better off I am. Said slightly differently, it is actually very common for VM administrators to underestimate the number of virtual machines that they will ultimately end up managing. If I deploy virtual machines from template, and those templates include backup agents, open file agents, application agents, recovery agents, and so on, every VM I deploy creates a license liability for me and my backup vendor. If I use VCB, or if I use VMware Data Recovery, no license liability is incurred. I can continue to perform traditional network-based backups. To do that, I would simply install the appropriate backup agents in my virtual machines. I would have a backup server somewhere on my corporate network, and I would have my backup agents simply kick off a backup and stream the data from my VM across my gigabit backup network over to the backup server. I would, of course, need to use additional agents to deal with open files, SQL Exchange, and so on, and I would need to install recovery agents in VMs where I want the VM administrator to be able to perform self-service recoveries. Now, the good news is traditional network-based backup agents will work absolutely fine in a virtual machine. VMware supports a wide range of the incumbent network-based backup products, and there's a very good chance that the backup product that you use is on the list. As mentioned earlier, I do want to be careful about deploying VMs that include backup licensed backup products through templates because I may incur a unbudgeted license liability for all those VMs. The other challenge that I have is if too many backup agents kick off at the same time, the collective load on storage, on memory, on network, and on CPU could cause serious resource contention at my ESX host level, and that resource contention may actually impair the performance of my critical production VMs. I do have some tips for you to help you minimize backup stress caused by traditional network-based backup tools. First of all, I would highly recommend that you deploy a separate backup LAN. The idea here is to keep backup traffic off of your storage network, your production network, your management network, and so on. That way, we can heavily load the backup network without causing negative side effects on other workloads. I would also suggest you stagger backup times. So you might want to schedule no more than 2 or 3 network-based backup jobs to run at one time. The idea here is simply to spread the backup load over many, many hours over the evening so that the ESX box performing the backups does not incur resource stress and the network itself is not overworked. I would also suggest you consider master versus incremental backups. The idea is that I may not need to backup every byte of every file on all my VMs every night. So, for example, I could do something like do a master backup of my volumes on the weekend and perhaps incremental backups during the evening so that I backup only what's changed since my last master, not every byte of every volume. Another good suggestion is to separate the operating system disk from the application disk and data disks and set different backup policies on each disk. I would do this on a VM-by-VM basis. So, for example, I might do weekly masters of my OS disk and then nightly incrementals. I might do masters of my application file share disks only when I change the applications. And I might do nightly masters of all of my data volumes so that I can easily recover the latest files without having to sift through masters and incrementals. The service console is the core of your ESX host. So a service console failure would take down your ESX host and would crash all of the VMs running on that ESX host. You need to be prepared to rapidly recover your service console, and one way to do that is simply reinstall. It takes about 20 to 30 minutes to install ESX from scratch. And it may actually take less time to reinstall than to bring out your backup media, boot from a backup boot CD, connect to the backup storage volume, and then restore that way. Please understand that if you do a reinstall of ESX, you can preserve your VMFS volumes, but you may not get your original configuration back. It turns out that ESX keeps all of its configuration under the service console/etc directory. It would be wise if you made periodic archives of the contents of the Etsy directory, because if you did, and then you later on experienced a ESX server failure, you could rebuild the ESX server physically, reinstall ESX, upload your archive of the Etsy directory, unpack it over top of the existing contents of the Etsy directory, reboot your machine, and you would get your service console and VM kernel configuration back. Upon reboot, you would simply take your ESX host, rejoin any HA or DRS clusters, and you should be back in business. Now, there are some third-party vendors that do have backup agents specifically intended to back up the service console. You should, if you're using third-party backup tools, ask your vendor if they do in fact have an agent that would help you back up and recover the service console of your ESX host. Now, ESXi actually has no service console, and that presents an additional backup challenge. VMware does have a program that they include with the service console called VICFG-CFGBackup. And what this program does is it grabs a copy of the ESXi configuration and archives it away. And you can use complementary tools to restore this configuration should you ever need to rebuild your ESXi box. Next, I'd like to talk to you about VMware Consolidated Backup. VMware Consolidated Backup is a backup tool that is included in most editions of ESX. VCB, if deployed over a fiber SAN, is a LAN-free, agentless, hot, consistent, fast, and reliable backup solution for virtual machines. VCB can run either off the service console or it can be offloaded onto a dedicated VCB backup proxy server. ESX and VCB coordinate backup tasks over your Ethernet network, but the actual backup files stream across the fiber network at somewhere between 2, 4, or 8 gigabits per second, significantly faster than 1 gigabit Ethernet. VCB also works across iSCSI SAN networks, but at that case, it loses its speed advantage since iSCSI typically runs across 1 gigabit Ethernet. VCB is a snapshot and backup solution. So when it's time to backup a VM using VCB, what happens is VCB arranges for that VM to be synced, in other words, all pending writes forced to disk, snapshotted, and then the VM is allowed to continue. Once the VM's virtual disk is snapshotted, it is safe to make a copy of it because no changes are actually being applied to the actual virtual disk. Changes are accumulating in the snapshot delta disk. Now, if I use VCB, I can perform two different types of backups. I can perform full bare metal image backups, or I should say bare virtual metal image backups, or I can perform file and directory backups, but I can do that only for Windows VMs. In a typical VCB scenario, I would have a VM running on an ESX host. That VM storage would be provided by a fiber or iSCSI SAN. The ESX host would be running the VM and would normally hold an exclusive lock on all of the VM's constituent files. If I choose to use a VCB backup proxy server, then I would connect a Windows 2003 machine with VCB installed onto my fiber network, and I would have my SAN administrator make all of the ESX volumes, that is all the volumes partitioned and formatted VMFS, visible to my VCB proxy server. Now, it's key that the VMs live on the fiber SAN because what we're going to do is have the VCB proxy server gain access to the VMFS volumes and copy the VM's files off of the SAN onto storage that's located on the VCB server. So, VCB runs on top of Windows 2003. It uses a couple of special drivers that VMware provides. One of them is the VLUN driver. The VLUN driver's job is to teach Windows how to read and understand a VMFS partition. So the VLUN driver understands the VMFS directory structure, can navigate the directory structure or provide access to the directory structure, and allow Windows to navigate up and down and actually read files off of a VMFS. If Windows can read files off of a VMFS, then it's possible to actually copy any file, including a VM's VMX file, its virtual disk file, and so on, off of a VMFS and onto local Windows storage. Here's the normal sequence of events for a VCB backup. The Windows 2003 backup proxy server can optionally initiate a pre-backup script that might network connect to the VM and put the VM in a state where it is safe to back up. So for example, if the VM were running a SQL database, it could quiesce the database. It could put the application that the VM is running in a state where there's no pending writes, that sort of thing. The next step would be for VCB to actually talk to the ESX host that's running the VM and officially request that the ESX host sync, that is, have the VM post all pending writes to disk, and then immediately snapshot the virtual machine. When a virtual machine is snapshotted, the virtual machine gets a second virtual disk, and that second virtual disk acts as a repository for all the disk blocks that have changed from the moment in time that the snapshot was taken. The third step is the VCB proxy server asks the ESX host to relax the read-write lock that the VM has on all of its constituent files. Instead, what happens is the ESX box drops down to a read lock, a write lock. So what that means is other files or other machines can read the files that make up the VM, but only the ESX box running the VM can actually write those files. Once this is done, it's time to actually do the backup. As mentioned earlier, there are two ways that we can actually do a VM backup using VCB running on a proxy server. If we've already completed the steps just discussed, then one option available to the Windows server is to actually go into the subdirectory where the VM lives and literally copy all of the VM's constituent files, the virtual disk, the VMX file, the NVRAM file, and so on, off of the VMFS volume onto a large local Windows volume. So for example, I might have a large RAID array as the Windows C drive or perhaps as a D drive. And so what I would do is have the Windows proxy server literally just start copying all of those files off of the SAN and over onto the Windows machine itself. Now understand that the SAN can deliver data at up to 8 megabits a second, which means 800 megabytes a second. And I would need an extremely high-performance RAID array with an extremely competent RAID controller to be able to sustain anything close to 800 megabytes a second of writes. So, as fast as the storage network will allow, the data is copied off of the VMFS volume onto the local Windows 2003 server. Then, what we can do is, at our convenience, we can stream those files off to more permanent backup media like tape, a nearline SANLUN, or something like that. The nice thing about this strategy is all of the files that make up a VM are actually resident on the Windows 2003 VCB proxy server, which means that we can actually gain access to those files should we ever need to restore the VM from basically do a bare metal restore of the VM, or we can use tools like VMware's Converter to reach into that subdirectory and convert that backup image into a brand new VM, which we could then use for testing purposes, development, QA, patch testing, update testing, configuration testing, or perhaps even copy that VM or redeploy that VM to our disaster recovery site. So having a bare metal copy of a VM on the VCB server facilitates a great deal of administrative backup and disaster recovery tasks. VMware has a tool called Mount VM that allows you to do file and directory backups of VMs. Here's how it works. Just like before, we need VMFS access to the file and directory that make up the VM. So what would happen is the VCB proxy server would connect to the NTFS volume, it would change directories to the subdirectory where the VM lives, and in this case, instead of just copying the VM's constituent files, it would use a program called mountvm.exe to mount the NTFS partition on the VM's virtual disk as a subdirectory under the Windows proxy server's C drive, or perhaps D drive. A mount is an association between a directory and the root of a secondary partition. In this case, by mounting a subdirectory of the C drive over to the root directory of the NTFS partition that makes up the VM, we give backup tools that we would run on the VCB proxy server full file and directory access to every file and directory in the NTFS partition of the VM that we are backing up. We would then launch our favorite Windows backup tool, point it at the mount point that mounts the NTFS partition for our VM, and tell it to simply stream all the files and directories from the mount point over to our backup medium. This allows us to do a full file and directory VM of, or file and directory backup of a VM while it is in service. Okay, regardless of whether we do an image backup or a file and directory backup, the next step is to actually complete the backup process for the VM. Step number one is, when the files have been copied, either directly or through a backup program, it's time to tell the source ESX machine that it needs to commit the snapshot that was made at the beginning of the backup cycle. So the source ESX machine literally commits the backup, which posts all the pending changes to the actual virtual disk and then deletes the Delta file that supported the backup. The ESX host then reasserts a full read-write lock on the VM, and optionally, the VCB proxy server goes ahead and initiates any post-backup tasks that you may have created for your virtual machine. At this point, you now have a complete hot backup of your VM. Okay, I've just given you two methods for doing a VM backup using VCB. How do I actually do a restore? Well, first of all, understand that if I did a bare metal backup of a virtual machine, I pretty much have to do a bare metal restore in order to do file and directory recoveries out of that image. So I could do a bare metal restore by using VMware Converter to actually convert the backup image into a new virtual machine, bring up that virtual machine, and then copy out the files I need. If instead I used a file and directory restore, then what I would need to do is I would need to launch the recovery agent for the backup tool that I used. Typically, I would have the recovery agent installed on the VCB server. I would have it reach into the backup repository to the appropriate image, pull out the needed files, and more likely than not, I would simply drop them in a subdirectory on the VCB server that I have previously arranged to share out using SMB. Alternatively, I could actually do something like perhaps FTP the files over to the VM that needs the recovered files. Alternatively, I could actually get my backup tools recovery agents and install them in all of my VMs. That way, while I continue to do backups centrally, I could do recoveries in a distributed manner, just by having my VM administrators do self-service recoveries with the recovery agents installed in their VMs. The good news is they don't need to bother us to do recoveries, and of course the bad news is I need to pay for recovery agents for each of those VMs. Now, VCB file and directory restores are limited to Windows VMs, and the reason for that is if we use a VCB proxy server that runs Windows 2003. And of course, Windows 2003 has no ability to understand or manipulate Linux's ext3 file systems, Sun's UFS or ZFS file systems, network file systems, and so on. So in that case, our only option for doing a restore would be to do a full VM restore, log into that restored VM, and then copy out the needed files. Okay, we've just talked about various backup strategies available to you when you run VMware's vSphere product. We talked about Service Console backups, and I mentioned that a perfectly effective way to recover an ESX box is to simply do a reinstall. It is wise to make an archive of the /etc directory, because that's the directory that holds all your configuration information for both the Service Console and the VM kernel. We talked about VCB, that is a backup tool that VMware provides that gives you hot, consistent, reliable, fast, and, if you have a fiber SAN, LAN-free backups. This reduces or perhaps even eliminates the need for traditional network-based backup agents, recovery agents, open file agents, and so on, thus saving you money. And depending on how you deploy it, you may either get centralized backup and recovery, or perhaps you might do a hybrid where you do centralized backup and decentralized recovery. There are also many third-party products on the market that provide excellent options for backup and recovery. VisionCore has a product called VRanger, and PhD Virtual has a product that up until recently was called ES Express. You should do a Google search for either of these two products. They consistently vie with each other for Best in Show awards at VMworld, and I've talked to many people who have bought one or both of these products, and everybody has had nothing but kind things to say about them. You may also wish to explore VMware's data recovery product. Data recovery is new for vSphere 4, and it's my opinion that it's still going through some settling in pain, so I would test it thoroughly before deciding to count on it as your exclusive backup tool. I hope you've enjoyed today's radio presentation, and I thank you for listening. I would like to remind you that if you have any questions or comments, to please use the questions comments box below. If you are interested in listening to my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Larry Karnas. If there is a show that you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the questions comments box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.